Letters.
On the Secret Service, Boeing, central banks and supply shocks, trust, data, and business reading.
Founding the Secret Service.
From Charles Lane, author, Freedom's Detective, The Secret Service, The Ku Klux Klan, and the man who masterminded America's first war on terror, Washington, D.C. It is urban legend, not historical truth, that the law creating the Secret Service was signed by Abraham Lincoln on April 14, 1865. Article off target, July 20th. Actually, the Secret Service Division of the Treasury Department, as it was known, came into being through nothing more than a brief written order by that department's chief legal officer on July 5th, 1865. Though your article correctly notes that the unit's initial purpose was to investigate counterfeiting, not protecting the president, there was no relevant vote in Congress, which was adjourned. The precise origins of the story appear to lie in an actual fact. Lincoln met Hugh McCulloch, the Secretary of the Treasury, on April 14, 1865. The juxtaposition of this meeting with the president's assassination later that night at Ford's Theatre seems to have suggested a more dramatic than real narrative to subsequent writers. The embellishers include two former Secret Service officials who, in 1960, included a version of the tale in a history published with the approval of the agency itself. However, not a shred of contemporaneous documentation supports the story. McCulloch's own detailed memoir in 1889 discusses his final meeting with Lincoln, but makes no mention of the Secret Service. Congress did not pass a law expressly providing for a Secret Service division until 1882. In the intervening 17 years, great controversy had developed over the Secret Service, in part because Southern legislators were angry at how it had been used to infiltrate the Ku Klux Klan in the former Confederacy, and in part because undercover Secret Service men had skimmed money or helped Republicans carry out various political dirty tricks. The 1882 legislation accordingly specified that the Secret Service's mission would be to fight counterfeiting and no other purpose whatever. This language is notable given the assassination of President James Garfield in just the previous year, 1881. Still, it did not prevent the executive branch from deploying Secret Service men informally as occasional bodyguards for President Grover Cleveland midway through his second term, 1893 to 1897, or indeed as espionage agents during the Spanish-American War, which broke out in 1898. As The Economist correctly notes, Congress did not authorize the Secret Service to protect presidents until 1901, after the assassination of William McKinley.
A failure to communicate.
From John Churchill, Christchurch, Dorset. Schumpeter was spot on in his review of Boeing's failings, which do indeed amount to corporate criminality, article July 13th. There are two additional aspects worth noting. Boeing failed to have an internal regulator inspect, test and ensure the safety of its systems. And arguably, an even greater shortcoming lies with the independent external regulator, the Federal Aviation Administration, which got too close to Boeing. The FAA neglected its own properly independent inspection and testing, particularly of safety-critical and safety-significant systems.
Supply shocks and inflation.
From Carl Walsh, Professor of Economics Emeritus, University of California, Santa Cruz. In theory, central bankers should ignore supply shocks, you say. Article The End of the Beginning, July 6th. I disagree. Central banks should never ignore supply shocks. By definition, supply shocks affect an economy's ability to produce goods and services. Inflation will rise if overall supply contracts, unless the central bank raises interest rates to reduce demand. Although monetary policy primarily affects aggregate demand, it must also react to supply shocks to keep supply and demand in balance if it wants to stabilize inflation. This is true whether the supply shock turns out to be temporary or persistent. Fighting inflation is not rocket science. The Federal Reserve's monetary policy report contains several rules for setting monetary policy that perform well in a variety of economic models. None of them requires central banks to know whether inflation has risen because of a supply shock or a demand shock, or to know how long a shock will persist. The rules call for responding to actual inflation, as well as measures of real economic activity, such as the unemployment rate. Ignoring the guidelines that these rules provide, as the Fed did in 2021 when inflation soared above its 2% target, risks a repeat of the 1970s, when temporary inflation shocks from oil prices led to sustained increases in inflation. Belated interest rate rises in 2022 and 2023 have helped ensure that the temporary supply and fiscal shocks produced only a temporary rise in inflation. Central banks committed to low and stable inflation cannot ignore supply shocks either in theory or in practice.
Labour must build trust.
From Alistair McCapra, Chief Executive, Chartered Institute of Public Relations, London. The Conservative Party did not lose its desire to govern overnight, Badgett, July 20th. Rather, its ambition receded as the never-ending parade of scandals forced it onto the back foot. From David Cameron to Owen Paterson to Scott Benton, repeated lobbying scandals have tainted public perceptions of politics more than anything else. For all its important announcements on energy and house building, restoring trust is where the new Labour government must begin. The blame also lies with the 2014 Lobbying Act. It's so riddled with exemptions that it keeps the vast majority of lobbying in the shadows. If the new government wants to avoid the briefest of honeymoons and ensure its efforts resonate with bruised, sceptical voters, it needs to rebuild trust, and quickly.
The death of data.
From Frederick Pilcher, Las Cruces, New Mexico. It is not true that, unlike bodies, data do not decay. Article, A Date with Destiny and Your Data, July 13th. The devices on which the data are stored decay after a few decades at the most. The preservation of data requires that they continually be copied from old to new storage media. Any crisis that interrupts the data transfer, such as war, pandemic, or economic collapse, will also destroy the historical record. You admit that not all data can be saved, which is regrettably true for historical as well as personal data. Paper copies are the only durable backup.
Summer reading.
From Carol Weston, Armonk, New York. Bartleby is right that literature provides excellent guidance for managers, July 13th, pointing out that Virgil and Tom Sawyer are great leaders, whereas Richard III, Macbeth and Captain Ahab are not. During the dog days of summer, we may all sometimes feel like Herman Melville's Bartleby, the columnist's namesake, who, when faced with jobs, tasks and suggestions, replied, "I would prefer not to."
From Jeevani Subasingha, London, George Orwell's Animal Farm also provides useful insight for those who wish to ascend from cubicle to corner office, and sad reminders for those who stay on the farm with them.